You are what you... How would you complete that sentence? You are what you eat. It's common, isn't it? You are what you say. You are what you wear. You are what you put on your Facebook status. Try this one. You are what you pray. You are what you pray. Maybe that's a difficult one. Robert Murray McShane was a pastor and poet in 19th century Scotland. He was engaged when he died at the age of 29, but the legacy of his ministry under God is still felt today. Robert Murray McShane said this. He said, "What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more." Why should that be? I suppose because when I'm on my knees praying to God, then most of all, I'm showing my total dependence on God for life, breath, for eternity. We've been glancing back each week at the very first Spirit-filled church after that amazing day in Pentecost in Acts 2. What marked out that first church? We've seen they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, so we looked at the Bible. We've seen that, there was conversion and baptism going on, so we looked at that. We've seen that the Holy Spirit came on each one, as he does on every Christian now. So we looked at that. We saw they were devoted to the fellowship, weren't they, to the breaking of bread. So we looked at those. And finally, we see tonight, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Now, probably as we look at these essentials of church, there are some other essentials you might think we should look at, no doubt we should. But there could hardly be anything more essential to church life than prayer. I pray the Lord Jesus himself would teach us, train us how to pray as we turn to Matthew's Gospel again, Matthew chapter 6. We've already read from verse 5. We're going to look at a number of questions you've got on your sheets there. And the first question is this, how to pray? The first click of the button, please. How to pray? We're in verses 5-8. Look down with me, would you? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." How to pray. Jesus says, pray to God, not to people. Pray to God, not to people. Picture the blue Palestinian sky, the dusty streets, the milling crowd. And what's that we see? What's that man doing? Standing on the street corner, arms in the air, shouting at the top of his voice. Oh, he's praying. Or at least he thinks he's praying, but Jesus says he's a hypocrite. He's pretending to talk to God, but actually he only cares what the crowd think of him. He's only trying to impress. He's not praying at all. Jesus says no. They pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He says, pray to God, not to people. Immediately, maybe questions come up in our minds. So why do we pray in our meetings? Why did I invite David to come up and lead us in prayer? Is that wrong? Is it wrong to pray in prayer meetings out loud or in our families? Should I only ever pray secretly by myself? And that can't actually be what Jesus means, because elsewhere in the Bible we should obviously be praying publicly, at home, and at church. In Acts 1 it says the disciples joined together constantly in prayer. We call our church meetings services. That's a funny word, really. In the Bible, in Acts, church meetings were called the time of prayer or the place of prayer. The Bible says pray on all occasions. But the question is, what's happening in our hearts? Are we actually praying to God or are we praying to people? Pray for me as I often... So I don't mean we'd actually be praying to people, you know, dear Evie, please help me. You know what I mean? We're praying for the benefit of other people. They should be impressed by us. Or are we praying to God? Pray for me as I often lead us in prayer. Pray for all who lead us in prayer, that I won't be trying to impress, but that I'll actually lead us together as we talk to God. And as each of us prays in youth groups and the home groups and prayer meetings and in our homes, it's a challenge. I wonder why we find it hard to pray in groups sometimes. Actually, you might be surprised, but I can get nervous praying in groups because my stammering request sounds a bit pathetic, really. But if we're praying to God and not to people, then that doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter what other people think of my prayer. God doesn't care how impressive my prayer sounds. He loves simple prayers like, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. How to pray? Jesus says, pray to God, not to people. And then Jesus says, trust in God, not in words. Look at verse 7 with me, would you? And when you pray, he says, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Trust in God, not in words. As we wander down the dusty Palestinian street a bit further, maybe we pass the tall stone columns of a pagan Roman temple. And curious, perhaps we peer into the dark doorway. Maybe we hear a pagan praying, or should I say babbling. Hocus pocus, abracadabra, hubble bubble, toil and trouble, on and on they drone. They think that if they can just get the incantation right, just say all the magic words in just the right order, it might just work and they might be able to twist the idol's arm. And Jesus says, not so with God. How to pray? Trust in God, not in words. Of course, we use words to pray. That's how you pray. But it's not the prayer itself, the act of the words coming out of my mouth, it's not that that itself has cosmic power, but the God that we pray to, he has extraordinary power. So we don't need to use clever words in our prayers. We don't need necessarily to repeat God's name over and over. We just talk to God. How to pray? Jesus says, pray to God, not to people. Trust in God, not in words. Now, maybe we know that already. We kind of know how to pray. But in practice, if we're honest, we don't pray very much. Maybe we feel guilty about that. But we find it so hard to make the time to pray. Maybe we're thinking, yeah, okay, please help me. Give me some motivation here. Help me to pray. So secondly, we ask, why to pray? Why to pray? Look at verse 9 with me, would you? Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus is about to give his disciples a model prayer. And why to pray? The clue is in God's name, our Father in heaven. Pray because God is our Father. It means that he cares. Some of you, maybe your fathers weren't too good, but God is the perfect, most loving Father. And incredibly, as Jesus died and rose, he opened the way for his Father to become our Father too, as we trust in Jesus. Sometimes we pray like we're shopping, I think. So we go around once a week with our trolley, taking things off the list, because there's stuff we want. We need to get stuff. And of course, God is often very gracious with our prayers. But first and foremost, prayer is not about getting stuff. Prayer is about knowing a person. It's about a relationship with a father. I've got two sons. With my two sons, why do we talk to each other? Because we love each other. Yeah, sometimes they ask me for stuff. They're experts when it comes to asking for more pudding. And that's fine. But mostly it's just a joy to talk with each other. In the same way, let's pray because God is our Father as we trust in Jesus. Maybe we're thinking, that's all very well, but my life is very busy. I've got so much to do, so many responsibilities, calls on my time. And while my Father on earth doesn't have all that much power, he means well. I thought he was a superhero when I was a boy or a girl. But he doesn't have much power over my broken heart. Not much power over those Christians persecuted on the other side of the world. And why not? Well, because our fathers on earth are on earth, aren't they? Why pray to God? Because God is in heaven. Our Father in heaven, Jesus says. He's in the control tower. All this is his creation. If I can put it this way, this is his workbench. He's in charge of princes and paupers, of hearts and nations, because he's in heaven. If our Father means he cares, in heaven means he can. And so there was a great hymn writer in the 18th century called William Cowper. He suffered terribly from depression, but he knew his God. And William Cowper said this. He said, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I've probably told you before about a famous photo. I'd love to show it, but I think it's copyright. It's a photo of the US President John Kennedy at his desk in the White House. The most powerful man at the most powerful place in the world. And under his desk in the photo, a little boy plays. It's his son. Do you know what that little boy used to call that desk in the Oval Office? He used to call that desk my house. My house was that desk. Now, I think that's amazing, but actually it's really boring. It's really boring compared with the incredible place that Christians are in before God. He's our Father. He's in heaven. And as we trust in Jesus, his throne is our home. No wonder then, that some old Christians used to get up at 4 a.m. to pray for 4 hours every day. If we really understood the privilege of prayer, wouldn't we pray all the time? At least every 20 minutes, wouldn't we stop and pray? Wouldn't we go to every prayer meeting under the sun? Why pray? Because God is our Father in heaven. Okay, maybe we're persuaded. We open our mouths to pray, but there are hundreds of thousands of words we could use. How do we actually pray? What do we actually say? Thirdly, what to pray? Look with me, would you? From verse 10. Let's pick it up again in verse 9. Why not? Verse 9. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Jesus gives his disciples a model of prayer. We referred to this this morning as Spencer was preaching from Revelation. And it is obviously not meant to be the only prayer that Christians can ever pray. There were dozens of prayers recorded in the New Testament. But here are Jesus' priorities. It's the ideal starting point. Jesus teaches us how to pray about God. Let's pick it up at verse 9. Again, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know about you, I tend naturally to pray about myself, my needs, my family. Those are good prayers. We'll come to that. But at the top of the list, Jesus says, pray about God. One little boy got a bit confused about God's name. He thought God was called Harold. His mummy said to him, why do you keep calling God Harold? The boy said, because our Father in heaven, Harold be your name. I hope it's not too flippant. His mum had some explaining to do. Hallowed. Hallowed is not a common word, is it? Unless people read Harry Potter, I think, so I'm told. But hallowed be your name is just a prayer for God's reputation. Various musicians have infamously claimed to be more famous than Jesus. That's not just untrue, is it? That's terrible. We want God's name to be known everywhere. We pray not only for God's fame, but also for his reputation. That everyone will realize God is the glorious maker and ruler. Everyone realizes he's so different, he's holy. Everyone realizes that he is the source of love and light and life. We praise him for that. We worship him. Hallowed be your name. We pray for God's reputation. And we pray for God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, we pray. What does that mean, your kingdom come? We thought about it this morning. It means we're not satisfied for people just to know God's reputation in their heads. We pray that rebels like us will turn and submit in their hearts to God's King, to Jesus. We pray for people who don't yet know Jesus, turn to him. Friends, neighbors, schoolmates, colleagues, family, our town, our country, our world. And we pray that Jesus, the King, will come back and finally complete his kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray for God's kingdom. God's reputation, God's kingdom, and we pray for God's will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everyone obeys God perfectly. And so we pray on earth, God, please help me to obey you, to live more like Jesus today, and my family and my church. Help us to trust and follow you more and more today. But as we pray for God's will, it's a risky thing. The night before Jesus died, in the olive garden, among the shadows of those stumpy trees, Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. And the answer was he was crucified. Praying for God's will, it's dangerous, but it's wise, very wise. Because we don't know like God knows. Our hearts are tainted with sin. His heart is holy. I pray for my family to be well tonight, but God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts. God's will be done. See, prayer, it's not like a slot machine to get the chocolate bar that I choose. Prayer isn't twisting God's arm. Prayer is asking God to do as he chooses. But he'll do it anyway. Isn't that pointless? No, because as a father with his son, he rejoices to involve me, to listen to me in relationship. It's our privilege to get on board. So we pray about God. I wonder if that comes naturally to us. Well, if actually praying about God doesn't come all that naturally, I wonder if we need to adapt how we pray. Take time to pray about God. And then we pray about ourselves. Look down with me, would you, from verse 11. Jesus said, "Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So we pray for ourselves, for our provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray for what we need. Only God knows what we really need, but we ask him to provide for us. I'm glad my one-year-old doesn't try and serve himself his breakfast. I'm glad he asks me for his breakfast. Now, he might shout for extra sugary honey nut puffs, and I might say no, it's Weetabix today, but I'm glad he asks and doesn't just try and serve himself. That would go very wrong. So we pray for ourselves, and of course we pray for others. It's not give me this day my daily bread. He taught give us this day our daily bread. We pray for others too, for our provision. And then we pray for our pardon. Verse 12, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, what does that mean? Surely if we're trusting and following Jesus, then we're already forgiven for always. Yes, we are. And yet even today, I've disobeyed God again and again. So we say sorry and thank you for his ongoing pardon. What a thrill that is, to remember that Jesus has died in my place on the cross, and my blame and shame are nailed there with him, the perfect one, and my wrongdoing in Jesus, it is forgiven and forgotten. Praise God. If you've never prayed for your pardon, it's a prayer you can only pray for yourself, actually, but it's the most important prayer in the world. Of course, we can't be hypocrites. We mustn't ask for God to pardon us and then not pardon others. So we ask for God's strength to forgive others also. We pray for ourselves for provision, for pardon, and finally for protection. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We pray for protection from temptation. Protection from Satan, who would drag us into wrongdoing, who'd love to crush our faith. This isn't peacetime. It's a lovely day outside. But it isn't peacetime. This is wartime. Spiritual war. We pray for protection from Satan. Perhaps we pray for about our weak spots. Temptations we know we find the greatest. We pray for temptation, for protection rather. As we pray, I wonder if these are our priorities. Not just provision, but also pardon and protection. Naturally, I pray for people's health, jobs and health and happiness. Those are good things to pray for. But let's not forget to pray for our spiritual needs, which are even greater. People to trust and follow Jesus, yes, for the first time. And more and more. How to pray? Why to pray? What to pray? Before we finish, let's look very briefly at some really practical applications. How to pray in church? How to pray in church? Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is writing so that Timothy will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. That's what he tells us in chapter 3 and verse 15. In other words, 1 Timothy is a manual for church life. So how should we pray in church? Come to 1 Timothy chapter 2 with me, would you? Page 840 and verse 1. I urge then, he says, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. How to pray in church? We should pray with thanks. I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made, Paul writes, with thanks, as always. And we pray in church for authorities. Verse 2, for kings and all those in authority. Why? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We're not just praying that we'll have quiet lives in the sense of easy lives, be able to put our feet up and relax on the beach. No, we're praying that the authorities will let us get on with being Christians, whether at school or at work, in the community. Remembering especially Christians persecuted so badly around the world. We pray for them. We pray in church for authorities. And we pray for salvation. Verse 3, for salvation. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So we pray that the authorities will be saved. And we pray that they'll let us spread Christ's message so that all kinds of people will be saved as God desires. There are some biblical truth on how to pray in church. Now, briefly on your notes there, I've given you a couple of models which people have found helpful over the years as they shape prayers in church. These models aren't straight out of the Bible, but they are biblical principles. The first one is Acts. Many of you will know this. A, adoration. It means praise. We begin with adoration. C, confession, confessing our sin. T, thanksgiving. S, supplication, which means asking, acts. Others use stop. S for sorry. T for thank you. I'm teaching my little boy his letters, okay? T, not T. T for thank you. O for others. P for please. Just two models of how to pray in church. But then how to pray in small groups. I guess many of you, this will be more relevant immediately for how to pray in small groups. So it's the end of the home group, or the end of the youth group, and we go around, we take prayer requests, and we pray for each other. How to pray, order prayer meeting. Please come on Thursday night if you can, to the prayer meeting if you possibly can. It would be such a joy to pray with you. It would be a great take-home point from tonight. How to pray in groups. Let's be biblical. Is that one on your sheet? No. Be biblical. Write that one down, if you would, on your sheet. Be biblical. In other words, if you've studied the Bible together in our small group that evening, let's pray about what we've studied. I tend to, at that point, close my Bible and then say, please pray for me, I'm feeling poorly this week, or something like that. Which is good, isn't it, to pray practical prayers for each other. But let's also pray spiritual prayers at the back of what we've studied. Dear God, thank you. We've seen tonight that you're in charge. Amen. Let's be biblical. And let's be brave. Some of us are terrified of praying with others. I can understand that. But may I say, it's the one thing we can all do if we're Christians. I can't run the PA like some of you young people can. I can't advise people, counsel people, as well as you older Christians can. But I can pray. Whether you're young or old, if you're a Christian, so can you. Be brave. Praying in out loud in groups, it's a bit like driving on the motorway, I think. The first time you do it, well, the first time I did it, I thought I was going to cause a pile-up. I very nearly did. But it does get easier. It gets easier. And you've got to take the plunge the first time, otherwise you never do it, do you? We're all foot soldiers when it comes to prayer. No one is an expert. We need everybody's contribution. How to pray in groups. Let's be brave. And finally, just a personal tip and a plea, really. Let's be brief. I don't mean at the Sunday service. Sunday service, we have lots of things to pray for, don't we? But in small groups, we'd like us all to have turns to pray. Everyone. And time is limited, so let's pray brief, short prayers. Some people are gifted at praying the most wonderful, theologically rich, beautiful prayers. I thank God for those people, I really do. But it's not me. One day I was at a prayer meeting, and the first prayer, it felt like it took about 10 minutes. And it was brilliant. It was an amazing prayer. And I said a hearty amen. But I'm such a sinner, pray for me. I'm so full of the fear of man that I just couldn't follow it. I thought, how can I follow that? And there was this massive silence. I was so thankful. In the end, someone swallowed their pride and they broke the silence with a brief prayer. Dear God, please help Bob to become a Christian or something like that. Suddenly the floodgates opened. We all followed suit. You couldn't get a word in edgeways. Some of you have that gift of praying in that way. But in small groups, as a rule of thumb, let's be brave. Let's be brief. Let's be biblical. As we close, you are what you pray. As we confess our failure in this area, praise God for Jesus, the one who always lives to intercede for us. I pray that by his Holy Spirit, he'll teach us to pray.